Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Alternate Routes early and ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
If you're a competitor on any level, there are really two emotions you're dealing with, and they were so encapsulated perfectly by the great Jim McKay and the longtime opening on ABC's great show, The Wide World of Sports. The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Nothing can cement a player's reputation more than coming through in the clutch, like Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, Patrick Mahomes.
But sometimes even the greats make a mistake in the clutch, and the other C word comes up, as in choke. And then they end up having to deal with that moment, captured forever, for the rest of their lives.
Who can ever forget the 1993 national title game? Michigan down 73-71 to North Carolina. It's the final seconds. Chris Webber, the likely number one pick in the upcoming NBA draft, called a timeout that Michigan didn't have.
Webber brings it into the front court. They have no timeouts remaining.
Oh, he causes too many timeouts. That's a technical foul.
What would have happened if he didn't call timeout?
Would the Fab Five have gone on to win a title, or maybe two?
Maybe three. Does the NIL movement happen much faster and change everything in college sports?
And how does this all affect sales of Toni Braxton's second album, Secrets?
You never cease to surprise me with this, my friend.
From Wondery, I'm Kevin Frazier.
And I'm Trey Wingo, and here we go with Alternate Routes.
That's the butterfly effect. Yeah, nothing left to say, I gotta make it happen. What you got to see next is a chain reaction.
This episode is brought to you by Noom. Forget one-size-fits-all diets. With Noom, you get a personalized weight loss plan that's tailored to your lifestyle. No food is off-limits. Enjoy your favorites while discovering healthier habits. Noom's users love the flexible approach, blending psychology and biology to help you lose weight in a way that's sustainable for you. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's N-O-O-M.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So here's how the show works. Each week we'll kick open the sliding door of a different iconic what-if moment in sports.
And then we'll follow every ripple effect and play out every woulda, coulda, shoulda scenario that you can think of. Today's big question, what if Michigan's Chris Webber never called timeout in the 93 championship game?
The Fab Five, they had taken over college basketball. They put Michigan on the map. They were young. It was just their second season at Michigan, sophomores, but they were experienced playing in their second straight national title game. As it turns out, it was also their last chance for that amazing group of five players to even come close to a title.
Chris Webber actually made two mistakes on that play. He traveled before the timeout.
Oh, he walked. He walked and the referee missed it.
He dribbled into a trap. He called that infamous timeout with just 11 seconds to go. And then Webber's technical foul and UNC's two subsequent free throws cost Michigan any chance of winning that national title. Trey, give me your first alternate route. If C. Webb kept the timeout in his pocket,
had they won it, I think the drive for them to do it again and stamp their identity on the landscape of college basketball would have been a really big deal. People forget, Kevin, how intoxicating that Michigan team was. Five freshmen? Are you freaking kidding me? Chris Webber, Juwan Howard, Jalen Rose, Ray Jackson, Jimmy King, arguably the greatest recruiting class in the history of college basketball. And if they had won that first title, they lost the first one to Duke, and they had won that second one. If Michigan had tasted that first win and gotten that ring, there might have been a real drive for them to come back and do it again and do it again for a three-peat. The rules about when you could go in from the NCAA to the NBA, very different back then. There was the hardship rule, and that's how Chris Webber decided to leave after his sophomore year. But that was it. I think there's a real possibility that they become the first team since the Wooden era to do a three-peat in college basketball, and suddenly they become, in a really relative modern way, much more of a dominant influence and a dominant team in the history of college basketball than even those great runs by UCLA.
Do you remember that regular season game they played against Duke?
It was heated.
One of the most heated, incredible college basketball games I've ever seen. And them talking about how much they hated the players from Duke, even Grant Hill. The Fab Five was America's team.
They were.
If Duke was the class of the world with Coach K and the Ivory Towers, as close to an Ivy League school as you can get without being in the Ivy League, this was the people's team, the regular folk. Everybody loved Michigan in the Fab Five.
Where do we look at Steve Fisher in the iconic level of coaches in the history of the NCAA if he wins two or three championships with the Fab Five? Suddenly, Michigan is looked at in college basketball the way we look at Duke, the way we look at North Carolina, the way we look at Kentucky, the way we look at UCLA. The ripple effect of how many more recruits continue to and want to chase the dreams that the Fab Five started. Suddenly, a lot of those players that were going to places like Duke or North Carolina or Kentucky, like, wait a minute, I want to be a part of this history they're building at the University of Michigan. They could become the thing in college basketball for decades.
It's funny you say that because that's my alternate route, the Steve Fisher dynasty. The thing about that dynasty is that he would win those titles and Weber would probably come back for his junior year. Who would have joined them? Think of the recruiting class they could have gotten under the Fab Five and the guys they would have brought in. And that would have locked Steve Fisher into Michigan for years to come. He probably would have signed one of those ridiculous 10-year contracts. And you think about the rise of other programs that happened even in that state. Would Tom Izzo have been Tom Izzo? Would Michigan State have ever had a run that they had? Think about the other repercussions that happened because of that. If Chris Webber stays and they win another national championship, so they go back to back, then maybe they're the three top picks in that draft in 94. You could have gone Webber, Jalen, because of his swag, right? Jalen goes to Dallas, and then Juwan goes home to Detroit. You bump Grant Hill, Glenn Robinson, and Jason Kidd down to the second three. They're in the top six, but the top three come out of the University of Michigan and part of that Fisher dynasty, and he reloads with some of the best players in the country because everybody wants to wear their shorts long. Everybody wants that Michigan swag, and everybody wants to run in under those national championship banners.
It's kind of weird for people to not understand the influence the Fab Five had today on college basketball, because I don't ever remember a team, a college basketball team, giving us that much juice. So if they had that much juice, and they remember the baggy shorts? They brought back the baggy shorts that were so long.
They were incredible.
Like, go look at Larry Bird and Magic Johnson shorts in the 1979 NCAA championship game, and then go look at Michigan's the two child title games.
Sure.
They're almost pants.
Jalen's were crazy.
They had an influence on America in general, which is hard to overstate. And I think if they had started winning, people would begin to realize, hey man, everyone's profiting off this. Except the players. Everyone's making money. The billions of dollars a year that CBS paid to lock up the NCAA tournament for all those years. Billions with a B per year, per annum, that they're throwing into the NCAA coffers. Why shouldn't some of that go to the players who are the ones that are actually doing the thing on the floor? The point being, the NIL phase that we're living in right now, mostly in college football, but also in college basketball, I think it starts 25 years ahead of when it did. I think the Fab Five break the barrier of the quote-unquote amateur status of college students on scholarship. You know, we just had the Dartmouth basketball team unionize. I think that happens 25 years earlier, and suddenly all these people that are getting in trouble for taking money when they played college sports, that goes away. Reggie Bush never has his Heisman taken away because the Fab Five break that ridiculous illusion of amateurism in college sports. We open those floodgates and players are getting paid. Reggie has no problem taking care of his parents, by the way. Let's be honest, that's what he did. He took care of his parents with a house in San Diego because it was such a start. Helix High School before he went on to play for USC. His Heisman Trophy is still his. The championship for USC is still there. All because of the Fab Five. The Fab Five break down and shatter this ridiculous idea that these are amateur athletes and they realize everyone's getting paid. the players should get paid, and they change college athletics forever.
You heard Jalen in that great documentary about the Fab Five say, we're looking around and we're seeing everybody rocking Michigan gear, and everybody wearing long shorts, and everybody getting paid, and I can't even get a pizza.
It's ridiculous. What's your next one?
My next one is a little bit of a windy road.
Okay.
Because that's what this is about.
You got that
right. It's about going someplace, taking a journey, right? Yeah. So Steve Fisher, he wins those titles, at least one, but probably two. He signs this long-term deal, which means he never goes to San Diego State. And because of that, there's never a title in Toronto.
Oh, I like this. Continue.
When he got to San Diego State, he admits that he became obsessed with this kid that he saw in San Diego, Kawhi Leonard. He was obsessed with getting him to San Diego State and recruited him hard. Now, if he's not there, Kawhi's list changes. And instead, he most likely chooses one of these other schools, Washington, USC, UCLA, Arizona, or Alabama State. I'm going to say he goes to Washington because it's sexy then. Lorenzo Romar is the coach. They have Isaiah Thomas. They also have Justin Holiday, the middle brother of the Holidays. They go up there and they form a formidable team at the University of Washington. So Kawhi goes and does work, and he leaves after his sophomore year. But now, because he has put up numbers in the Pac-10, he's looked at different. So Derek Williams goes number two. Guess who goes number three? Kawhi goes number three. Instead of 15th, like he did behind folks like Jimmer Fredette. And the Morris brothers. So now, instead, in 2011, he goes third, and he goes to Utah. But what does that mean going forward? Well, that means the Philadelphia 76ers get to win an NBA championship in 2019 because there is no Kawhi, there is no last second shot, there is no Joel Embiid crying. Instead, the 76ers are your NBA champions.
I love that, and people in Philadelphia would love that. Yours was a little bit of a windy road. I'm going to take it a little more of a winding road.
Go, go, go.
There's the old saying, what's in a name, right? Well, Jalen Rose famously says he's the first Jalen in the history of pop culture in America.
Is that true? Is that really true?
We don't know if it's true, but we had our crack research team, shout out to David Sabino, and they have a newspaper.com account where they go back and scour this stuff. They looked. There's no record anywhere of a Jalen named before Jalen Rose at Michigan. Maybe if they stay, they win not one, but two, potentially three. Suddenly, everybody is naming their kids Jalen. Jalen becomes one of the most famous and popular names in America. Maybe Gwyneth Paltrow doesn't name her kids Apple. She names one of them Jalen. Michigan's multiple championships mean that one out of every 20 boys born in Michigan becomes Jalen, joining Shaquille and later Peyton as popular trendy names. Jalen unseats Michael as the most popular name in America. And maybe, just maybe, in that scenario, in Super Bowl 57, it would be center Jalen Kelce snapping to Jalen Hurts. And instead of the brotherly shove or the tush push, it becomes the Jalen shove or the Jalen thrust. And suddenly it's a totally different name. So if they stayed, suddenly Jalen is way up there in popular names, and many, many more athletes suddenly are absolutely named Jalen. And Super Bowl 57 features the brotherly shove or the tush push or the Jalen thrust, Kelce to Hurts in the Super Bowl.
Wow.
And that's not even my crazy one. That's not even my crazy one. Let's take a break from my insanity and get to yours that's slightly off kilter.
Mine's out there, and I'm going to tell you why. It changes one of the great pop culture moments in NBA history. One of the great rumors goes away and dies. Remember earlier I talked about if those guys all stay and they come back for one more run, it changes the draft order. And it sends Jalen Rose now to Dallas. And he's one of the three amigos. And it derails one of the greatest rumors in pop culture history, that Jimmy Jackson stole Tony Braxton from Jason Kidd.
I'm so happy that you work in this world.
The rumor has it that Tony Braxton was all set up to go and hang out with Jason Kidd, and Jimmy Jackson swooped in, stole her, and took her away. And that's what caused the three amigos in Dallas to unravel. Well, number one, we know that Jalen has so much swagger that he wouldn't have let that happen. Jamal Mashburn was the other of the three amigos. He wouldn't have let that happen. But more importantly, all three people involved have kind of denied that rumor.
Kind of.
Jimmy Jackson said, well, it kind of didn't happen like that. Now, Jamal Mashburn has said, well, there was a little tension, but it wasn't from that. And then Jason Kidd is just flat out denied it and says, I don't even know the woman. I'd never met her. Toni Braxton, when asked about it, said, hey, I never kiss and tell. So that was just enough to get the rumor mill going.
Just enough to light the fire.
At the time, Toni Braxton had an album coming out called Secrets. And so she was maybe promoting Secrets or trying to push Secrets, but that's when she dropped, come on, that famous kiss and tell line. But if Jalen goes there, that moment never happens. And if it even teeters on happening, Jalen tells the world about it. He stops it. And the Three Amigos become the Three Amigos, and Dallas becomes a real force.
I like that one.
Trey, give me your route that is completely off the map.
We're going to Baghdad.
Come on.
We're going into the geopolitical space here. If that timeout doesn't happen, the longest war in U.S. history never takes place. Let me explain. NIL happens decades earlier. It becomes politicized when Bill Clinton needs a positive message during his impeachment trial in 1998. So he latches on to the idea of let the kids play, give them their money, all generated by the Fab Five's experience. Suddenly, Bill is much more popular.
How does this get me to a war?
The idea of Al Gore replacing Bill Clinton in the Oval Office is very, very, very much more popular. So those 600 votes with the hanging chads and the butterfly ballots and all those ridiculous things that we went through, that doesn't happen. Al Gore wins the state of Florida by a comfortable margin. He then becomes president of the United States instead of George Bush. And after 9/11, instead of going into Iraq, Al Gore doesn't go down that road at all. Instead, he goes and attacks the people that attacked us on 9/11 instead of going after Saddam Hussein. And the longest war in the history of the United States never takes place. You're welcome.
Right now, my head is spinning. I literally halfway through forgot that we were even doing a sports podcast because you started talking about Monica Lewinsky and Bill Clinton and then the voting in Florida. I was like, where in the hell am I? Did I just turn the channel to MSNBC or something for Chris Webber's timeout?
Think about all the things we could have saved ourselves from.
Trey is thinking about a lot, y'all. I mean, I'll just be honest with you. He has time when he's playing pickleball to think about all this stuff. Coming up, does making the Hall of Fame ultimately make Webber a winner? Or was that one mental lapse just too much to overcome? We'll give you our winners and losers when we come back and we have to recalibrate. Everybody, just recalibrate the whole show.
My bad. That's the butterfly effect for real.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Welcome back. We just unpacked all the alternate realities. I mean, Trey went some places that I'm still trying to recover from. We're going to come back to the real world. Can we please?
Bring it back. Bring it back.
My first winner is an interesting one because it's Senator Herb Cole.
And you thought I was crazy.
No. Mine's simpler. Herb Cole owned the Milwaukee Bucks. And in 94, they drafted Glenn Robinson number one. Glenn Robinson wanted $100 million. He settled on 81, but he wanted $100 million. And Senator Herb Cole said, why don't you just take the franchise and pay me? If Chris Webber doesn't call that timeout and he comes back one more year, he bumps Glenn Robinson down a notch. And so now you have one of the Fab Five members coming in. And all of a sudden, Senator Herb Cole writes that check happily, if it is Chris Webber and not Glenn Robinson.
That sounds like a bargain, $100 million, the way things are going in the
Doesn't
NBA.
It? Right? $100 million is nothing.
It is nothing right now. I always tell NFL players when it's their free agency, don't look at NBA free agency. You'll just get sad. Obviously, my biggest winner is Dean Smith here. You know, this was his second championship, and it's great to win one, but if you can win two, you're looked at differently. What's weird, as we all know, both of Dean's titles came with the opponent really screwing up. But, you know, Bill Belichick's great line is, hey, let's not beat ourselves. Let's let the other team make the mistake. And upon that, a dynasty was built. Dean Smith needed a second championship to solidify his status as one of the elite coaches of all time in NCAA basketball. Because of this, any doubt about the greatness of Dean Smith, even though it was a mistake by Chris Webber, the greatness of Dean Smith as a college basketball coach really can't be questioned anymore. Dean Smith's place on the pantheon of great college basketball coaches was solidified by Chris Webber calling that timeout that he didn't have.
That was such a great Final Four. It was New Orleans. I was there with a buddy, and we had C.M. Newton's tickets from Kentucky because my buddy, he was a chiropractor. He worked on Rick Pitino's dad when he was sick. And so we had these great seats. And we also were there after Kentucky lost on Final Four Saturday. And seeing Rick coming to the bus crying after they had lost, a little tear running down his face and being like, oh my gosh, this guy cares so much about this. And it was such a wild Final Four. Four great teams, such a crazy ending, and us kind of looking at each other like, what the hell just happened? Did Chris Webber really call timeout? Are we sure we saw what we think we saw? Can I give another winner?
Sure.
I'm just going to piggyback off of you because you're on fire today, and I just want to say Jalen Hurts, Jalen Ramsey, and Jalen Brunson, yeah, all winners.
Let's go.
Because of Jalen. I have to give you that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That happens once a millennia, so I'll notch it up, and we'll see in the 3000s. The other big winner here for me, and then we'll move on to losers, is every other college basketball blue blood program, right? We talked about it. If they'd stayed and they'd done that, Michigan would have been a thing for a long freaking time, because you know how this goes. You mentioned Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina, all these blue blood college programs stay blue blood programs much longer. They're the big winners in all of this, instead of Michigan becoming the dominant force as we talked about. So by nature, again, winners and losers. Obviously, one of the biggest losers is Chris Webber, despite what he's gone on to be. And he's gone on to be an amazing pro, and he's doing a really good job calling games now. He's done a really good job sort of dealing with it over the years and deflecting and sort of mitigating it. But every time you mention Chris Webber, this is the first thing that pops up. It's the yeah, but for Chris Webber forever.
And that is hard. Heartbreaking, because Chris Webber really was a different kind of basketball player. He changed the game.
Webber's too strong, and Webber just used those long arms to go right over him again. Webber swats it away. Look at how far he came across the lane to get that ball.
This is before, you know, you had stretch fours and you had just big lumbering guys who were out on the court, and all of a sudden here comes this guy who can run just as fast as everybody else. He can get up and down the court. He can score. He's got a beautiful jumper. I mean, he was a transformative athlete. And so I also look at what, like you said, he's done as a broadcaster. He's been amazing. And you can't say enough of how he really has taken his second career to the top, the apex. But if I have to choose one other loser, it has to be Orlando, the Magic, and the fact that you could have had Shaquille O'Neal and Chris Webber together. Those two together.
Dominant.
It doesn't matter who else is around you, but it changes the narrative, and they could dominate the East for a long time.
Yeah.
They would have teamed together for a magical duo, and it would have changed the balance of the East.
Those two would have crashed the boards with the best of those New York Knicks bad boys.
And remember what they did to Chicago. They beat Mike when Mike came back. They would have beat him again if they had Chris Webber. Trey, this is one of my favorite losers, because I don't think people really understand and realize, when they see this guy, the part he played in the history of the Fab Five. And that is Los Angeles Lakers GM Rob Pelinka. For a long time, he was Kobe Bryant's agent, and I would always see him, and I'd be like, Rob, people don't realize what a bad boy you were, that you could really shoot it. I believe he had 6 points in that final game. He hit a couple of threes, but Pelinka was a really good player. He was like the sixth or seventh man coming off the bench with the Fab Five, and he was in the middle of it all. He lived it all. If they had won that national championship, maybe people look at Pelinka a little different, and maybe people look at him different if they had won two and he could walk around with two rings on his fingers. His part in history, when you see him in the Fab Five series, you always want to laugh because you're like, damn, there's Rob Pelinka in the middle of it all.
Rob Lowe's lookalike, his doppelganger, by the way. So what would we have missed out on if it went the alternate route?
I think that it's important that we mention one of the greatest figures in NBA history, and that is the one and only Little Penny. If Penny doesn't arrive, we miss out on Little Penny because you don't have the swag of Orlando. And Little Penny was magic. Chris Rock voiced him. If you take me back to the 90s, there's two commercials that come up immediately. Pass the ball, dog. Yeah. Pass the ball. Yeah. With Kevin Garnett and those guys. And I also think about Little Penny.
Penny, I want to say hello to my man Kevin Garnett.
Kevin Garnett?
Yeah, Garnett. We went to high school together. Tell him Little Penny from the science club says hello. Can you do that for a brother?
I mean, Little Penny was amazing.
You'll like this one, and then we'll move on. Would we have missed the conspiracy theories about the series between the Kings and the Lakers? Who was the ref in that series?
Our friend, Tim Dottie.
A lot of conspiracy theories about what went on in that series when Chris Webber was with the Kings and Shaq was with the Lakers.
It was Game 6 in Sacramento, and they were ready to be crowned as the new Western Conference champions. They got a number done on them, let's just be honest. And everybody on that court will tell you that it was like, oh my God, what happened? Why? Something else we would have missed, which I would have been okay with missing, is the whole Ed Martin debacle, the booster who they say paid Chris Webber. Because of that, the way Michigan treated Chris has been almost criminal.
Yeah.
And I know they're trying to embrace him now. You're talking about one of the greatest players in college basketball history, and definitely in Michigan history, being ostracized by his school.
It could have been handled better all the way across, and there wouldn't be this lingering animosity, even to this day, that Chris Webber has for his alma mater. Okay, so then we get the question of, what's the unanswerables in all of this? What's your one unanswerable question, knowing all of this stuff that still goes through your mind?
Did someone yell timeout to Chris Webber?
Great one.
Because he has said he heard people on the bench saying something like timeout. The coaching staff has said that everyone knew there were no more timeouts. When I look at it, I see this kid getting trapped. Did he hear his teammate yell, call timeout?
That's great, because in the 30 for 30 on the Fab Five, they isolated that audio. And it's not, you hear the word timeout, but you don't know if they're saying call timeout or no timeouts. Since I took it heavy with the longest war in U.S. history, would short shorts finally make their way back?
They started a certain place, but everybody took it too damn far. Dana Barros had those crazy long shorts.
White chocolate.
Yes, white chocolate shorts. And it wasn't just the shorts you were wearing in games, because they tried to clean that up. It was what people were wearing out in the streets. You would go out to the basketball courts, and dudes literally would have shorts that would go all the way down to their high tops. Are those your dad's shorts? But you know what? They'll be back.
Pro tip to people listening, never throw out your old clothes. They all come back. We could do more about that, but we're out of timeouts. So we'll have to let the clock run out on this episode. If you're listening or watching on YouTube, let us know what we missed. We always want to hear from you. I'm at Wingos on X. He is at Kevin Frazier.
And always send us the biggest, wildest, most agonizing sports what-ifs that you'd like us to cover on the show. And we'll throw them in the alternate routes machine for a future episode.
And we will see you down the road on Alternate Routes.
You connected this to a war. You know that, right?
Well, okay. It just seemed obvious to me. That's the butterfly effect. What you about to see next is a chain reaction. Shoulda, coulda, woulda's, never see the action. Just keep it real. That's a butterfly effect for real. Follow Alternate Routes on the Wondery app, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to every episode of Alternate Routes early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.